Friday, February the 14th. This morning began happily with a pretty little bouquet on my breakfast tray and a valentine homemade from Warren Lynn. Linda Bird had already given me hers, a picture of herself with a delicious inscription typical of that child. And Lyndon, a book called Reuben Reuben by Peter DeVries with a saucy little message inside, addressed to Claudia Taylor Johnson and signed by a name that nobody but he and I would remember. Something I used to call him a very long time ago, about 29 years ago, in fact, and something that can't be repeated here. I shall put it away in an envelope entitled Among My Treasures. The first working bit of the day was to go downstairs and have my picture taken with Marge McNamara for the D.C. League of Women Voters. They're putting on a benefit called The Affair, and the actor, Lewis Edmonds, presented me with tickets. The idea being, of course, to raise money so that the League of Women Voters can tell more people why they ought to get out and vote and to explain the issues to them. No sides taken. Make up your own mind. But do, for heaven's sakes, learn about it. Then quickly, there were some more pictures for Newsweek by a man named Ward outdoors on my way toward Lyndon's office. And then there was the Heart Luncheon, an annual affair to which I've been every year for a great many years, and for which I, like every other woman in town, get dressed up in the best thing I have. This time, it was my white Alaskine suit with the rhinestone buttons and a cafe au lait hat with flowers cascading down the back, or so Elaney said in the column. At any rate, I was pretty well pleased with the way I looked and the way the picture came out, and even more pleased at the fact that there were 1,400 women in the Sheraton Park room, each of whom had paid a nice little sum, and the coffers for heart research are beefed up thereby. Was there ever such a nation of doers and goers and givers as we are? Although it's easy sometimes to get to thinking how much activity and how much achievement. There was a style show, the first I've seen in a good long time, and a beautiful one that almost made me want to compete with the lovely, sleek ladies, except that it's easy to count up the bills that have already come in. You can always count on the British to help out, and Lady Ormsby Gore was at the head table, as was that darling Madame Platzer from Austria. I got back to the White House in time to be hostess for a very odd and interesting threesome that was sent to me by the U.S. Travel Service, sponsored by my friend Hodges, Department of Commerce, trying to bring foreign visitors into this country to get foreign dollars for tourism. We Americans have been touring the wide, wide world for long enough, and it's high time folks started seeing us. The effort of this aspect of the U.S. Travel Service is to get communities to invite visitors into individual American homes. My guests were Mrs. Johanna Boschewers from Amsterdam, Holland, and she told me more about my country than I could tell her. She's traveled 14,000 miles by bus across the United States, and I can hardly believe I'm telling the truth, but I think she said for $99. Of course, she'd spent most of the time here with friends in the United States, and oddly enough, they were friends that she had made because she had rented out her canal boat in Amsterdam to visiting American tourists. And as they stayed there, as her paying guests, they got to be friends, and they all said, when you come to the United States, you must stop by and see us. She said, you know, one thing I found out, all Americans are not rich. And I said, yes, ma'am, you've got us down right. She and I both agreed that traveling by bus and taking 3.5 months to see a country was a wonderful way to do it. My other guests was Senor and Senora Valle Aviano from Lima, Peru. He owns a mine, and she'd been named Woman of the Year in Lima several years ago. But because she'd raised a big family of children, and then she had had a lot of other children in her home, among them visiting Americans, who had stayed for quite some length of time with them. Well, so much for the grist that comes to my mill, and delightful variety it has. As soon as they had departed, I had two more guests, the John Steinbecks, whom I'd been looking forward very much to spending an hour with. Mr. Steinbeck, because I'm an old, old fan of his, way back to the days of Grapes of Wrath and of Mice and Men. And Mrs. Steinbeck, because when she was Elaine Anderson at the University of Texas, back about 1932, I had seen her in curtain club plays. I remember specifically one, Hay Fever. She later married Zachary Scott and went to, to New York and then to Hollywood, where, as so many marriages do, that one perished. And later on, she became Mrs. Steinbeck. And another reason I wanted to see her is because her sister, Jean Covert Boone, has worked for me at KTBC for 10 or 12 years on The Woman's World. It turned out to be an absolutely delicious hour. They had spent some 6 months behind the Iron Curtain, traveling in Poland, Czechoslovakia, in Russia, meeting artists, meeting just people wherever they could, in an attempt to explain America to those people, one of the cultural exchange ideas. They had many things to say about the Russian people, that they were very hospitable, very outgoing, also that they absolutely, like a stone wall, refused to believe a lot of the things that you would tell them about what our country was like. For instance, Steinbeck tried to tell them about the time their leader, Mr. Khrushchev, took off his shoe and very angrily pounded home a point on the desk at the United Nations when he was making a speech. They said, "You lie. Our great leader is a very cultured man. He would never do anything as uncouth as that." They also told me one delightful incident about how when they were returning from some evening engagement, they emerged onto the street at 11 o'clock, could find no taxi, didn't have anybody with them from N-Tourist, tried to summon the policeman and get help, asked for help from first one, then the other, were not able to get a man to find him a taxi anywhere. And finally, John Steinbeck sat down in the middle of the street and refused to budge. And then Elaine began to tell it. She said, "He had on this great big black Russian fur hat and a great big overcoat, and he just sat there and said, 'I'm not going to move till you get me a taxi.'" Presently, while everybody stood around in bewilderment and not knowing what to do, a cultured gentleman walked through the crowd, looked at him, leaned over, said, "Ernest Hemingway." Steinbeck said, "No," shook his head. The man looked at him again and said, "John Steinbeck." And he said, "Yes." The man turned around, gave some swift orders. In about 5 minutes, up rolled a taxi. They got in, thanked him, and off they went. Shortly after they left, I had a couple of hours of desk work. And then supper on a tray. And Mary Lasker arrived en route from Florida to New York to spend the night with me to talk about my art project. Lennon is in St. Louis making a speech celebrating its, I suppose, bicentennial, and it looked like a good night for Mary and me just to sit around and talk about the possible art committee, the continuation of all the things that need to be done, the places where I may be able to get pictures on loan for Lennon's office and the fish room and my little study and perhaps eventually for the family room upstairs. It was an early to bed night and high time too. One needs them every now and then.